Thank y'all for the good singing, good congregational singing. Wonderful, just wonderful. Does my heart good to be able to hear good singing. I tell you, if it does our hearts good, what does it do for God? Isn't that right? What does it do for Him? My. Whew. Well, Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. And it's that time, this year has flown by. My mother and father, my grandfather and grandmother, they all told me when I was young that time just flies by. And I was like you when you were young. I didn't believe that. I thought it stood still almost, you know. But I have found that to be true. You know, a lot of wisdom in the older folks. I used to sit and talk with them when I was 10 and 11 years old. Instead of being out playing with a lot of the other children, I'd be sitting around. We'd have reunions and family reunions or whatever, and the older people would come by or something like that. I'd want to sit and talk with them. And, I really enjoyed that. I picked up on a lot of history that way. I did when I was young. I also picked up on some wisdom from them. And so young folks, listen to your elders. Listen to the older people. There's a lot of wisdom there that can guide you in your life. And so I do want to thank you, each and every one of you, coming this morning. And it's good to see y'all. And if you will, just turn in your Bible there to Jeremiah chapter 6. I am so thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth, being born of a virgin. And growing up, living a sinless life, and he did, sinless. If he'd had any inkling of sin, any part of sin or anything, he could not have went to the cross and died and buried and rose again for your sins and for mine. He could not have took your place and my place, but he was sinless, and therefore he was the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And I'm so thankful for him coming to this earth to do that for you and I. And I'll tell you, when we get to eternity and get our brand new body, we'll understand it more. In a greater and mighty way, we'll be even more thankful. Right now, we just see through a glass darkly, don't we? But we will see him face to face, and thank God for that. Well, I'm of the mindset and heart set of old-time preachers, old-time preaching and so forth, and I believe in the old-time ways. I believe in the old paths. The Bible tells us to seek those old paths, and I don't believe in the new stuff that's coming about in our churches. I do not like contemporary music at all. And I think, I'll be honest with you. I'm up front. I believe much of that music is of the devil. When you start getting the beat in there and everything else that goes along with it, you can't even understand the words and so forth. And if you see the background of some of those new singers that comes out and so forth, my goodness, it's just horrifying. You see, what they believe, some of them I don't even believe is saved because they can't give a clear-cut testimony of being born again. And yet they're going to record a song and it's all hyped up and everything else and has no meaning to it. And, the Spirit of God is not behind it. Well, I'm still the old path. I believe in old-time music, gospel music, and that doth lift your heart. And also is from the Spirit of God, just like our Bible is. Before I get started in the message, there's a question that I saw one time. What's killing our American churches today? You know, many church doors are closing around our country. And even in our Baptist circles and so forth. And some of the things it creeps in and we need to be on guard for. And this is one reason why I believe in preaching and teaching and living the old paths. And there's some philosophies that's killing American churches. And one of them is worship is subjective. You go into these non-denominational churches and some of your denominational churches today, and they'll say worship is subjective. What does that mean? Well, you just worship as you choose. Anything will be all right. You can bring whatever version of the Bible you want to, whatever you like best. And, you know, I've heard of some circles, you know, they'll say in, they're having a Bible study or something like that, and there'll be 20 people there that has 20 different versions, and all of them's reading out, and you can't follow along with any of that, and because it's all distorted and so forth. And so their worship becomes subjective. Well, I can have the lights blinking and flashing and looks like a concert, you know, of a world of the world, and that's all right. I'm worshiping God. No, I don't believe God is. I don't believe in 100 miles or something like that. I really don't. So we need to be careful that we worship the one and true God with all our heart, you see, and worship Him in the right way. You know, there's a lot of times in the Bible, and I'll have time to go through and point out different examples, but there was different times people thought they were worshiping God, and they weren't. Yeah. I mean, you take the children of Israel. They told Aaron when Moses had been gone for 40 days and 40 nights up on the mountain, and they had already seen the hand of God move. They had already seen all the things He had done to bring them out of Egypt. And yet, what do? They tell Aaron, here's the gold and everything, you know. And, you know, he told them, give it here, you know. And he throws it in the fire and it comes out as a calf. He's what he told Moses, you know. Well, he had to form that thing. Then they're dancing around that thing, having a good old time on a party and shouting and singing. Even Joshua thought it was a sound of war at the start when he heard it coming down from the mountain with Moses. But Moses said, no. That's not the sound of war. Mm-mm. Oh, see, they were going around that calf, and they thought they were worshiping God. And God wasn't in 100 miles of that thing. And I'm telling you, be careful. That's killing our churches today, is because they don't worship the one true God. But number two, they say the philosophy is never judge anything. Never judge anything. Don't be discriminative. Discriminate. Oh my goodness. You know, if I don't discriminate and I don't judge, when I read this Bible right here, what am I going to say what is right and what is wrong for me to live? If I don't discriminate between colors, and that's automatic with our eyes, isn't it? I see that that's a red pew. That's not a blue pew right there. And so it's nothing wrong. The society we live in today and the media, they're the ones that has told us that's a bad word, discriminate. We shouldn't have that in our vocabulary. And we should be toleration. We should tolerate this religion, tolerate that way of life and this way of life. And I'm telling you, folks, that ain't of God. God will not tolerate that. And one day, He's going to judge it. And, well, they say judge not and hold no negative opinions. Well, you got to have negative as long as positive. I've never seen a vehicle crank yet that didn't have a battery cable to a negative and a positive. Have y'all? This book right here has just as many negative verses as it does positive. You see, you got to have the right balance, you see. And thirdly, the third philosophy that's killing our churches, I believe, is a one-sided gospel. And what I mean by that is we talk about about going to heaven, about being good. You know, people say, I'm good, you know, when you're witnessing to them and you're talking to them, you got to get a person saved before you ever get them lost. I mean, you got to get a person lost before you ever get them saved. If a person just thinks they're good and everything else, they're not going to come to Christ. I had to realize one day that I was lost. Lost. And going to hell if I was to die. That's what I realized one Sunday morning sitting in a church up in North Carolina. I realized I was lost. That I was an enemy to God. That I had sinned against God. And then I realized I need to get saved before I died and went to hell. So, one-sided gospel is that, you know, well, we'll never talk about the judgment of God, we don't never talk about hell, and we don't talk about the wrath of God, but everything is good with God. Oh my friend, let me tell you something. Hell is just as real as heaven. It is a literal fire, a literal place of torments. And God doesn't send anybody to hell. He gives everybody a chance to get saved. People go to hell because they reject Jesus Christ. They reject God's only way to get to heaven. So keep that in mind when things start creeping into your churches, you see, and so forth. I believe in the old time way of salvation. And so if you will, with that being said, if you turn into Jeremiah chapter 6, very familiar verse to many of us. Jeremiah chapter 6. I believe it's not just enough to know God, but I believe it's vitally important to know what you believe. Do you know what you believe about this book? Do you know what you believe about the old path of living? Why do you believe it? That's vitally important. Why do you believe it? Why do you believe in the old paths? Why do you follow it? And then it's vitally important in whom you believe and follow after that old path that God has laid down before us. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you once again for the great privilege of preaching your precious word. Father, I do not take it for granted. I do not take it lightly. And you know my heart. Father, your word is so vitally important to us. Father, we cannot go day by day without it. Father, we need it as a spiritual nutrition for us. And Father God, we will just simply dry up and be of no use to you if we don't study and if we don't live by your precious word. Father, I want to thank you again for all that you do. Thank you for all those folks that come out today. May they receive a blessing from your precious word. Father, may the Holy Ghost of God speak to each and every heart today, that you would have full freedom, full reign in here, in this place today. Father, may you save anyone that is lost that's in this place today. May this be the day of salvation. Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise your holy name. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now that Bible says there that we're to follow old paths, to seek it. It says, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Well, I believe over there in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Then we'll come right back to this passage of Scripture. The Bible says there, here's what God says, right on the onslaught. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," and that's what God is asking in Jeremiah 6:16, "to stand, to see, and to seek his ways," the old paths. And people out there, and it says at the latter part of that, let me just, the latter part, "we will not walk therein," the people said. And that's what's happening with the world out there today. Why are so many lost people? Why is it that it seems like it's almost never anyone gets saved, that you can lead anyone to the Lord? That you're looked upon and frowned upon whenever you begin to witness to somebody. You ever have that problem? You know, they'll just look at you with a hard look, hard answer or something like that, try to get away from you and so forth. But now here's what God says there in verse 15 of Joshua 24. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." We have a choice. There's no middle ground. There's no neutral ground. God puts it black and white. You got to choose whom you will serve. whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, now here's what Joshua's answer was, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now there came a day when I had to make a decision years back. Whom am I going to serve? You see. And how am I going to serve him? That would be pleasing not to me, but be pleasing unto him. See, that's the thing. See, a lot of folks, they say, well, I want to serve the Lord. But yet they will not surrender themselves to fully say, I want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. In other words, some people say, well, I want to serve God. I choose his way, but I want to kind of straddle the fence. I want his blessings, yes. I want to go to heaven when I die, yes. I want to do things he wants that's be pleasing in him, but I still like to keep a little bit of foothold over here on the world side. I want to kind of stay in good with them because the heart tends to lean toward that because we're in the flesh. We like to please the flesh, don't we? Now see, we need to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh, you see. Well, we've got a decision to make about this old path. Let me say on the onslaught that the old path is God's path. That's an absolute. When you search through the Bible where it says about God's path and so forth, you'll find that the old path is God's path. Well, I decided years ago that's the path I want to walk therein. Because if I'm not walking in his path, that means I'm walking out of his path. I remember when snow would be on the ground in North Carolina when I was a boy, and I'd go out rabbit hunting with my daddy. And of course, I was 7 and 8 years old, and I didn't carry a gun. You know, he was carrying a gun. I went with him just to be out there in the woods. I loved it, and I wanted to see him shoot them rabbits. But I would catch myself, you know, the snow would be a foot deep or something, and as he's walking, well, I want to step in his footprints. I want to step, because that snow, if I was out here trying to walk in my own, make my own path, wow, I got tired, you know, 7, 8 years old. And all of a sudden, I'm just drudging along, you know, through that snow. And I found it easier if I'd walk in his shoes, in his footprints that he's already made. Wow, that was so much easier. Folks, what I'm trying to say there is, if we'll choose God's path and we'll walk in his footsteps, it makes life a whole lot easier. It makes a whole lot easier. Don't become a drudgery then. Well, and also I'd like to say that God's path is the right path. I want to be on the right, not on the wrong. It seems this day and time in our country, it doesn't matter to much people that they want to be on the wrong. We've seen that, haven't we? Doesn't bother them a bit to be on the wrong. They can't even say it. They can't even tell what right and wrong is anymore. But my friend, let me tell you something. God shows you and I what is right, and he expects for us to walk in the right. So the old path, God's path, is the right path. My desire, my goal in life, for myself, my family, our church, to take the right path, and that's the old path. I'm very dogmatic about the old path, and I think you should be also. I believe God's words. The old path is for a new creature. The old path is not for a lost person. Let me clarify that. A lost person cannot follow God until they get saved, okay? Because they know not God. But you and I, as born-again Christians, when we get saved, then we're a new creature. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Since you've been born again, there should have been some changes in your life, and there should be changes going on in our life because we haven't arrived yet, you see. We're still in his flesh. But since the moment of receiving Christ Jesus, our old nature should be changing to the new nature of God that's only found in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." And who is that? That's the devil. We used to walk. I remember before I got saved, I used to walk in his path. I used to walk the way he wanted me to walk and according to the course of this world. But then when I got saved, that changed. I began to walk in God's footprints. I began to walk in the old paths, you see, of God. The Bible says, "The Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, whom among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And verse 19 of that same chapter, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord." Your body is the temple of the Lord. "In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Now, back to Jeremiah 6:16. That first thing is that God commands us to do, tells us to do, "Thus saith the Lord," is "stand ye in the ways." Well, what ways should we stand in? How do we obtain the ways of the Lord? What does God have to say about our ways compared to his ways? Well, in Isaiah chapter 55, if you'll just turn a few pages back, Isaiah 55, here's what God has to say in verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord." Now that's standing in his ways. "While he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." That's what God, that's his way. But we must seek his way. "For my thoughts," here's what God says, "are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now I think God is right. I really do. His ways is far more superior than my ways. His way is far better than mine. His thoughts are far better than mine. I could never come close to his ways and his thoughts. So how do we get them? How do we get to his ways? We seek him. We seek him. We turn it all over him. Something I believe in the old pathway that we should hold on to and never try to change and that we cannot improve on is the way of salvation. The old pathway of salvation. John 14:6. Jesus saith, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You can't improve on that, my friend. You know what the world says? The world says, "Oh, I can get saved some other way. I can get to heaven some other way." No, you can't. God says that. He's the only way. Jesus is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, talking about that old path of salvation, verse 1 through 4. It says, it's still the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ In John 3:3, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You would be amazed at the number of people that I talk to and knock on their doors or even talk to them here on the street or something about, and I ask them, "Have you ever been born again?" And they'll look at me, "What? What does that mean? I've never heard that before." You see, and you get a chance to explain that to them. But a person must be born again. Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Any other way trying to get to heaven is not the right way. But the old pathway is being born again. Well, old pathway is straight and narrow. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. "Enter ye in at the straight gate." Notice that. The straight gate. "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in therein." That's what Jesus said. So the way to hell is broad, you see, and it's wide. That's the way to hell, and it leads to destruction, and many will go in therein. But God's way is straight. His way is narrow. That's the old path. "But straight is the gate," verse 14, "and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." There's not two ways to heaven, folks. There's not two ways, and there's not many ways to get to heaven. There's absolutely one way and only one way to get to heaven. Lost man's way of salvation is by baptism. There's also churches and so forth out there that says, "Oh, if you just be baptized, you're okay." As a matter of fact, they'll have a membership drive or something. "Oh, bring somebody with you to church, and you know, a family member, we'll have a baptism day." And what happens? They dunk a sinner that's lost, and he comes back up that's a sinner that's lost. You see. And baptism doesn't save anybody. No. Baptism is our symbol of, after we've already been born again, saying we have died to ourselves and risen to newness in Christ, you see. That's the symbolic meaning of baptism. Baptism, people that go around sprinkling people and all this and so forth, and they're just sending people to hell by that. So a lost man's way of salvation is by baptism without regeneration. Also, a lost person's way of salvation is joining the church without conversion. You ever know anybody do that? They'll come in and, "Oh yeah, I want to join the church." And there's some churches out there that would, you know, the preacher there or the pastor there, oh, he'll be glad just, yeah, to get up his numbers of them. He'll just let anybody come in and join just because they wanted to, without even asking them, have they ever been born again? That's a sad plight upon our country, folks. Sad plight upon our nation. And now then, you know, whenever you get the people in there that's lost, and they become the members and so forth, then they'll take over the church of God, you see. So you got to be careful about that thing. So the lost man's way of salvation is by their baptism, they think, by joining a church without conversion. And then the lost person's way of salvation is trying to be good and work their way to heaven by their own self-righteousness without the righteousness of Christ Jesus. My friend, let me tell you something. It's only by Jesus' righteousness can we obtain heaven. It's only by Him. And my friend, let me tell you something. If we try to get to heaven any other way, then we're as a thief and a robber, Jesus said. So you can't work your way to heaven. Can't be good enough. I've had people tell me and witness to them, "Well, let me stop doing this sin, or let me stop doing this or other, and let me start living a better life, and then I'll get saved." No, no. You need to get saved now. Give your life to Christ now. And then let Him clean you up, you see. We clean our own self up. All we are is just filthy rags. And we'll remain vile. The devil don't mind you cleaning yourself up as long as you stay away from the righteousness of Christ. Did you know that? And then, fourthly, a lost man's way of salvation is by his education. We have educated ourselves completely away from God. I'm telling you, that's just something people get. And I'm not against a college education if it's done for business, or if it's done to, where you can have a better knowledge of how to run a business and so forth. But we've got, there's seminaries and colleges out there that's supposed to be Christian, and they're turning out these guys that don't even believe this Bible. They don't even believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. They don't even believe that there's a rapture. They don't even believe that there's a hell. And all they believe in, oh yes, there's a heaven. And they're wooing and people and just deceiving people all the way to hell, my friend. So education is not the answer to get to God. No. I mean, some of the most unlearned people in all the world has come to Christ and got saved. And that's the most smartest people in the world. I don't claim to be an educated person and so forth. But my friend, let me tell you something. I was born and raised up there in the hills of North Carolina, and my old great uncle, he never could read or write. He could not read one word anywhere, in the Bible or anywhere. Could not even write his name. You know how he signed his check when he got his paycheck? Put an X on it. You ever seen anybody do that? You young people probably laugh about that. What? Put an X on it? What's that mean? You ain't never encountered anything like that. But I'd see him. He'd have his paycheck, and well, he put an X on that thing. Take it and get it cashed. That was his signature. That's all he knew how to write, because he had no education. But I can tell you this, he got saved. My goodness alive. I remember witnessing to him, and tears just fell out of his eyes. He was nothing but an old drunk. Been a drunk all his life. And tears just welled up, fell out of his eyes, and he got saved gloriously, I'm telling you, and it changed his life. And just in a short period of time, he was witnessing to people, and he would tell people, God don't want part of your heart or half of your heart. He wants all of your heart. And I was an unlearned man, you see. Had no education, but he knew that much right there, just short in a short while, by the Spirit of God. So the old pathway also is the King James Bible. This is God's book, God's words given to mankind. We ought to respect it. We ought to honor it. We ought to believe it. We ought to read it. We ought to abide by it, you see. My friend, the old pathway is God's book right here. Hebrews 10:7, the Bible said, Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. John 5:39, search the scriptures. For in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are which testify of me. In other words, what that's saying right there is whenever you read the scriptures, you're going to know. You're going to think. It's going to just impress upon you even more and encourage you to know that you have eternal life. No wonder when people get saved sometimes and they're just new Christians and they just kind of fall to the wayside and they think, well, I got to get saved over again. And you got all these denominations out there that teaches that. They teach that, you can lose your salvation. Once you're saved and you can lose it. And then you get saved over and over. But you know how confusing that is to an individual? I know people that's 30 or 40 years old that their parents was of that persuasion, and their parents had them so confused when they were a teenager. Well, you sinned again, that means you got to get saved again, And I used to be a brother in Christ, he was like that, and I'd tell him, Brother, I said, why you won't confuse your son like that? And, I wouldn't say that in front of his son. But, that boy grew up, and he's 30-some years old today, and he won't bark at the door of a church. Because he just, what's the use? Get saved over and over and over, and I'm fighting the same sin, still falling in sin. No, we get saved. Once saved, we're always saved. And the scriptures, what gives us what we need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved? You search the scriptures. That's what it's talking about there in John 5:39. You more you read the scriptures. See, the people that goes just falling away side and stuff like that, they're not reading their Bible. They're not. I mean, that's just blunt truth. Whenever they can so easily fall aside and fall to the wayside and so forth, they're not reading that Bible. Mm-mm. In Psalms 12, 6, 7, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. In Mark 13, 31, Jesus saith, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So what God has said, what he says, will never pass away. That's the old path I want to follow. I want to follow something that is never going to pass away. You know, mankind can write books and all these such of things, but they're going to pass away. They're going to all be burned up. You know, people can be real smart about computers and pulling up all this information, having all this information at their fingertips and so forth. But that's all going to pass away. This book right here is never going to pass away. I'd rather have the old path. And then in Jeremiah 6:16, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way. That's the way I want to stand, in God's ways. And then it says, and see. We have the old path of seeing the way God wants us to see. In order to see, we must be awake. We must be awake and alive by the Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 13, if you will, Romans chapter 13. Let's see what the Bible has to say about being awake. Romans chapter 13. The Bible says in verse 11 through 14, and that, knowing the time, do we know the time that we're living in today? Are you realizing what we're living in today? Things are not getting better. They're getting worse. Is that correct? Evolution is wrong. We understand that. Evolution tells that man's came from an ape and all that blob and everything. This is a lie from the devil. And they're getting better. We are not getting better, folks. Only an education could deceive people that bad, you see. But, and that, knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. It's time to wake up. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. In other words, let us walk in the old paths. And let us put on the armor of light, the old path. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, as in strife, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And in Psalms 34, verse 8, O taste and see, the Bible says, that the Lord is good. Has he been good to you, my friend? Absolutely, amen. He's been good to me. Like I said in Sunday school, treats me much better than what I deserve. And so the Bible says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalms 119, verse 18, the Bible says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You want God to open up your eyes? You want to see and understand the Bible? Then pray to him and ask him that. Ask him to open up your eyes that you may see. God will give you the desires of your heart. If you want to see, God will help you to see it. Absolutely, the old paths. And then it says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. He's not going to just bring it and throw it on your doorstep and say, here it is. He's not just going to come by and say, well, you're going to follow me by when the old paths are else. No, you still have to choose you this day whom you will serve. And he says, so ask for the old paths. You got to ask for it. You got to want it, you see. And it says, ask for the old paths, where is the good way? That is the good way, the old path is. And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. The Bible says, whosoever you and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that's Jesus speaking, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Do you think the Son wants to glorify the Father? Absolutely he does. And so he says, he gives you a promise. Whatsoever you ask in his name. I just, you know, I hear people pray sometime at, when we're off somewhere on a trip, or we're visiting somewhere and stop in at a church. And really, just, you know, my pet peeve is when somebody prays, I like for them to ask it in Jesus' name at the end of it. You know, but they'll say in your name or in his name or something like that. But Jesus very clearly said, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. Because it glorifies the Father. He said, the Father may glorify the Son. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do you believe that? I will do it. And James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Well, when you stand in the ways of God and see and look for the ways of God, and you ask for the ways of God, and you walk in the ways of God, that's your desire, then you will find rest for your soul. The ways of the old path is found in the precepts. That's where you find them at. The precepts, the commandments, the testimonies, the righteous judgments, the statutes, and the words of God. You read Psalms 119. That thing is sectioned off in there in eight verses to a lot under each name of each heading. Eight verses. But every verse of Scripture, 176 verses in Psalms 119, every one of them has something to say about the precepts of God, the laws of God, the commandments, the testimonies, the righteous judgments, the statutes, the words of God, you see. That's the old path that we need to seek. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 8, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So that's a promise from God. It says in verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8 says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. But it says, if you will follow God, you will trust him all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, believe and acknowledge in his ways, you see, and he'll direct your path. It shall be health to you and marrow to your bones, my friend. All the old paths that we are to hold tightly to is believing what the Bible says in the old time way of salvation. That old song that says, give me that old time religion, it's good enough for me. I agree with it 100%. Give me that old time religion, it's good enough for me. Yes, indeed. Well, the old path where we need to hold tightly to is to die daily to self, that we may live for Christ. The old path is not walking after the flesh, but it's to walk after the Spirit. The old path is to follow, to stay with the right, the conservative, the God-honoring music and songs that God has made for us, you see. When we leave from those God-honoring, God-lifting, uplifting songs, you see, my friend, all you got is the worldly, you see. And that's, we're not to leave the old hymns and the old songs of Zion, my friend. And let me say this about, while we're on this thing about music. The old path of God's music is the right way. Music is a powerful influence to us. Did you know that? It can move you. Yes. And why you think the young people and the people just love the music of the world, you see. It moves them, you see. Makes them want to just start, you know, gyrating and all this other mess of the world. My friend, God's music moves the heart, you see. It moves the heart. It allows you to get in one accord with the Spirit of God, you see. You listen and partake of the world's music and the wrong music. It will dominate your mind, your body, and your soul. But if the music honors God and glorifies God, then that will dominate your mind, body, and soul, you see. So we're to hold to the old path of the music as well. We're to follow the old path is to stay with the right ways of God, because his way is the best way. Well, another old path that I believe in that many churches and many people get away from. I've even had, I heard one preacher say one time, well, I don't believe in giving altar calls. I believe, you know, if it's okay, if you want to do that, they'll come to the altar, you can, but I'm not going to give an altar call. Well, I don't think that's right. I don't agree with that. I believe the old path of seeking God, the altar's open, and you need to give an altar call. You know, D.L. Moody, back whenever the Chicago fire took place, he had had a church service that very night, evening. And he said one of the things that will haunt him for the rest of his life, that he'll take it to the grave, is that he did not give an altar call that evening. And then the fire started. And he said many of those people that died in that fire may have been there. And they may have been wanting to get saved. I failed to give an altar call. He says, I'll never fail to give an altar call anymore. That was what he had said on that. The old path is coming to the altar, getting things right with God. Like the old song says, nothing between my soul and the Savior. I don't know about you. I don't want anything. No part of sin, no way of sin between me and the Savior, you see. I want to always give it all to Him, give it over to Him, my friend. So the altar is important to get things right with God. Coming to the altar with a broken heart, weeping over lost loved ones. That isn't seen anymore. It isn't done anymore. When's the last time that you and I broke down at the old-fashioned altar and just wept because someone on our heart was so strong? We know they need to be saved. If they was to die right now, be it in a car wreck or a heart attack or whatever, they'd go to hell. Does your heart break over that, my friend? It should. The old path is weeping over our lost loved ones. The old path is allowing the Holy Ghost conviction to move us and to stir us, you see. We don't have that anymore. It seems that we don't want to quench the Spirit of God. We want to hinder Him. And my friend, when the Spirit of God moves upon you and He's speaking to your heart, in just a moment we're fixing to give an altar call. And you stand there and you say, well, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to embarrass myself or anything. And you're not going to embarrass yourself. Amen. There's people here that love you, care about you. This altar is open for all of us to come and pray, whatever the need may be, you see. But we've gotten away from that Holy Ghost conviction anymore. We so easily just rub it off. We so easily dismiss the Holy Spirit when He's nudging us and wooing us and trying to get us to move forward. You see, the altars in the Old Testament, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, many others, they had to come and build an altar unto God. When God told them, when they knew it was time to worship Him, they would build an altar. They would build it right then. The altar wasn't already there for them. The altar's here for you. You need to use it. You need to use it. Our altars are not tear-stained anymore. Our altars are dry. Our altars are obsolete anymore. Why so? What hurts us to get up and say, Lord, I want to come to You? Lord, hurts us to come up and say, Lord, I'm ready to pray. Now, we all have needs. We all have decisions we got to make. And I'm sure you know someone in your life that's close to you that's lost. Do you realize they could be standing on the threshold of hell right now? Of going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. An altar time is a sincere time. And it's not for you to be embarrassed. It's not for you to be ashamed of, but it's your individual time to come and say, Lord, I choose you. Lord, I choose the old path. Lord, I want to pray for someone in particular, and I want you to answer the prayer, and I'm going to pray it in Jesus' name. All heads bowed and eyes closed.